So that music means it's really shock. Shock.
It's all good.
Put my teeth back in. that music means it's time for really soccer show here. It's Sunday afternoon here in Carrum. We're at Beach Lane Cafe. I've got a very special guest today. It's 18 degrees. It's winter here in Melbourne, but you wouldn't know it. The great thing about today's show is that we've had a full programme of soccer results. So I will be going through those later with my guest, but I wanted to introduce him, get him in first. Welcome to the show, Mr. Phil Livesley.
Hello, John.
How are you, mate? Are you well?
Very well indeed. Thank you very much.
Good stuff. Now, we brought Phil in. Phil is our specialised Manchester United supporter. Phil's actually from Salford, Phil. Where is Salford in relation to Manchester?
Well, the city of Salford is a separate city to Manchester, but it's part of Greater Manchester. So, you know, Manchester United's ground is technically in the city of Salford, but that's only 1 mile away from the centre of Manchester City. So It's all part of the same area.
Do sort of people from Salford consider themselves from Manchester, or definitely consider themselves from Salford?
It's a bit of both, John. You're a proud Salfordian, no problem at all. But you know, you're part of a bigger entity, a bigger city in Manchester.
Yeah, it's interesting because I know the song, was it "Dirty Old Town" by Ewan McCall, was written about Salford.
Was it really?
Well, it's more of a sort of a play on, I suppose, their the industrial past of Salford. But Salford doesn't have Manchester United's ground is technically sort of, you know, a mile over the border into Manchester. But Salford doesn't have a professional soccer club, is that right?
That's right. No professional football team, no.
But so what's the sort of sport, what's the professional sport in Salford traditionally?
Well, I guess Salford Reds, as they're called these days, is the big professional team. They've been, they are in the Super League of Rugby League.
Rugby League, yep.
And are going pretty well, actually. They've under new ownership. Had a pretty successful season last year and lucky not to make it to Wembley for the Challenge Cup final, and they're on their up.
Good. Now, interestingly, Salford does have a football club. Obviously, they're in the sixth tier in the National North Salford City Football Club. And we'll come to that in a minute, in your connection with that. But those people who don't know who Salford City are, they were bought by five or four ex-Manchester United players who I suppose are colloquially known as the class of 92. So Gary Neville, Phil Neville, Ryan Giggs, Paul Scholes and Nicky Butt, is that right?
Yep.
I believe they own 50% of the club, and then they've got a Singaporean billionaire who owns the other 50%. But they've really taken the non-league by storm. I think they got into the playoffs this season, and they're, you know, pushing to get up into the National League conference division. But interestingly enough, you used to play for Salford City. Now, I'm sure it wasn't as glamorous or was talked about when you played for them. What was that like, Phil?
I had a game or two down at Moor Lane, John, back in the day with a friend of mine, Dave. It was rough and ready back down. But then, you know, the pitch was pretty, you know, as traditional pitches are back in Manchester and Salford, pretty bumpy and muddy and not quite the football that you'd expect to see these days.
And one of the things they've done, they've sort of, they've changed the colours. Traditionally, Salford City were in orange. Yeah. They've changed the colours, or in sort of modern terminology, they've rebranded, I suppose, and they've changed the badge, I think, as well. What are sort of the thoughts on that?
I think it's great. You know, the five lads that have bought them, you know, the Nevilles, Butt, Scholes and Giggs, they're all local lads. You know, they're all, you know, the Nevilles were born in Bury, which is probably the furthest away, and only that's 5-10 miles away. You know, Nicky Butt from Gorton. Ryan, whilst he was born in Wales, was a Salford lad through and through. Mm. And Scholes, he was born in Hope Hospital, where my two daughters were born, actually, as well. So, you know, they're not there for the money. They're not trying to make money out of it.
Yep.
I think they're in it for the passion, and they really want to make it successful.
Yep.
I think that shines through in the two-part BBC documentary that you can get on YouTube, which is a great watch.
Yeah, it is a good watch. I've watched those, and for those who are interested, it's just how the class of 92... They're also known as Fergie's Fleshlings, which never really stuck. It was sort of a play on the Busby Babes, and Fergie's, it never really took off. So they're known now as Class of 92. And yeah, they've already rebuilt two sides of the ground. I believe they're going to finish off the other two sides. Really wanting to push. Now, I suppose interestingly for me, as more as an observer to it, you've seen the FC United of Manchester that was set up probably 10 years ago, and they almost have a very sort of socialist philosophy to FC United of Manchester. So everyone gets a vote. Everyone has a right. But for me, looking in outside, Salford City and FC United almost look like Man United light. They're almost going for those sort of floating supporters that maybe have been, you know, put off by modern football and the prices. What are your thoughts on that, Phil?
I think they're two very different stories, John. I think FC United were, you know, I guess born out of dissatisfaction from the hardcore political fans of Man United during the Glazer takeover. They were, you know, up in arms about ticket prices, up in arms about kickoff times being changed, and didn't like the way it was going, decided to form their own club.
Yeah.
Turned their back on their team, effectively, and created their own club. Now, yeah, they are in the same league as Salford this year. Salford City, you've got a 70-odd year history.
Is there rivalry between them?
Yeah, there will be. There's a big rivalry between the two, for sure. But, you know, they're very different. Salford City is an established non-league club,
yep,
who had, you know, part of the community from years gone by, and very different stories indeed. Now, I don't begrudge the fans of FC United of Manchester going down to Bury on a Saturday afternoon watching a bit of low-priced football.
Yep.
But, you know, to turn your back on your true team, Manchester United, to do that,
yep,
isn't good, in my opinion.
No, well, it almost feels like that Salford City's been set up to almost sort of negate FC United a little bit. I know they're a complete different entity, but the fact that, you know, they're now playing red shirts rather than orange shirts, as I say, fair play to them. I think Salford City are getting over 2,000 people a match. I think FC United are getting 3,000 to 4,000. So there's obviously people want to go and see this, you know. But there is not just at Man United. There is dissatisfaction with, you know, the Premier League. People are going more back to grassroots football. So
yeah, but the five lads that have done it, I think they've done it for the right reasons. They wanted, yep, to put something back into the community. You know, it is a community club at the end of the day. You know, volunteers kept that place going for years and years and years, and they just wanted to do the right thing and you know, put something back.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Well, as I say, if you want any more information on them, I highly recommend the videos on YouTube about the club. It's really interesting. Some of the characters, some of the volunteers, as Phil mentioned, the coaches. There's two. I won't go into it too much. There's two coaches who are characters, to say the least. Now, while we've just got Phil here as well, I just wanted to say we've had a full programme of the English and Scottish Football League, so I wanted to go through, talking more with Phil about his love for Man United later, but we just wanted to go through some of the results from last night. Starting off on Friday night, we had the big game, Arsenal versus Leicester City, 4-3, sounded like a cracking game. I'm sure Arsene Wenger would just be satisfied with a win there, wouldn't he?
I think he would, Johnny. You know, he spent a bit of cash this summer. I think he had to, really, for the fans down there, just to keep him going for another season. But, yeah, you know, it looks like it might have paid off. Looks like they've got a decent striker in Lacazette.
Yeah.
If he can score the goals that will keep him up towards, you know, the top of the league, then it'll be money well spent.
Yeah. I don't know, what are your thoughts on Arsene Wenger?
You can't begrudge what he's done. He's had a brilliant career. Mm. You know, he's an old school manager. Is it time for a change? I think if you asked a lot of Arsenal fans, they would say yes to that. I'm quite happy that he's remaining in place there, because, yeah, you know, I don't think he's in danger of winning the league anytime soon.
No, it's a funny one, isn't it? Because you kind of, everyone respects Arsene Wenger, you know, non-Arsenal fans as much as Arsenal fans, and because he did bring, you know, a certain swagger to the Premier League that wasn't there before. We're just going to go through some of these results from the Premier League last night. So we've got Watford 3, Liverpool 3. What are your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, amusing, really. seeing that goal go in the last couple of minutes brought a smile to my face last night, I have to say. Liverpool, you know, they need to strengthen defensively. They had a poor season last year. They've not done anything about it, really. They've got, yeah, a pretty dodgy goalkeeper in Mignolet. They look exciting going forward. They will score goals, but unless they can tighten up at the back, they won't be challenging again for, what, the 27th year in a row?
Just get that one in. Nice
get that one in there.
Well, it was funny, because I just thought that result almost sort of typified Liverpool a little bit, where going forward they're as good as anyone going forward. They some of the goals they scored were just bang. I watched it. Watford went 1-1, 1-1, 2-1 to Watford, 2-2. Liverpool got went 3-2 up, and really, really, you'd think that was the end of game. The next goal would be a Liverpool goal. That's what I was thinking, and then suddenly, 93rd minute, Watford equalise. So-called offside goal. Watford won't care, will they?
Perfectly legitimate, John.
Good. Now, the next one is an absolute cracker. We've got Chelsea 2, Burnley 3. Now, the crazy thing about this is Conte, obviously, defending the title. Burnley were actually 3-0 up at one point.
3-0 up at half-time.
3-0 up at half-time. Yeah. Two players sent off. Gary Cahill sent off, straight red. Cesc Fabregas sent off on the second yellow. There was a fight back from Chelsea. They got two back, but I think nine men against 11 when you're 3-0 down. To, you know, a tough ask for anyone. Anyway, great result for Burnley. They were poor on the road last year, weren't they?
Well, they were. They stayed up through the home form pretty much entirely. And, you know, it was, at the start of last season, you'd never given them a hope of staying up.
No.
To see them there this year again and, you know, looking like they might kick on maybe.
Yeah, well, that's right. I mean, he's bought well, they buy well, Burnley. So, next one, Palace 0, Huddersfield 3. Welcome to the Premier League, Frank de Boer. how fantastic that result is that for Sunderland, for Huddersfield? Sorry.
Huddersfield, that's a great story, you know. Such a small club, a bit like Burnley, you know, really small northern club with a great big rich history. But fantastic to see them in the Premier League and to wake up to see them stick three past Palace last night was... It was pretty good.
Yeah, I think they took thousands down for that match. Yeah. And they must have been partying in London all night, I would think. But great result for Huddersfield. First time in the top division since 1970. So next one, Everton 1, Stoke 0. A goal for your old boy?
Absolutely. Pleased for him. You know, you know, he can go wherever he wants and do whatever he wants. He's, you know, the record goal scorer at Man United, record goal scorer for England.
Yeah.
You know, don't begrudge him a bit of... success in his late years of his career down at Everton, where he first started, of course.
It was meant to be that he'd score that goal, wasn't it?
He was, I think so, yeah. You know, that's, you know, it was his boyhood club. Mm. Everton, they've bought well this year. I think they've got a really tough opening six games once they've got past the Stoke game.
Yep.
If they can get through that, you know, they've signed some good players. They could be a bit of a surprise package this year for me.
Do you think they're going to get Sigmundsson from Swansea?
Potentially. I don't know whether they actually need him when they get Barkley back from injury, but they've got a decent squad there. He's bought well, and you know, I think they could certainly challenge for top six this year.
Yeah, well, it's interesting about Ross Barkley, because Koeman, the manager of Everton, came out and said, yeah, he's never going to play for the club again, and then no one has expressed, I mean, people have expressed an interest, but no one has actually made an offer for Ross Barkley, and now he's come out in the last couple of days saying he'd be happy for him to stay. So, but I mean, class player Ross Barkley. I don't know, young fella. You know, maybe his form's a bit up and down. But
he perhaps just needs to get to a bigger club. You know, it can happen.
Yeah. Yep. Next one: Southampton 0, Swansea 0. That sounded like an absolute belter. West Brom 1, Bournemouth 0. Good start for West Brom.
Solid team. Pulis knows how to keep a team in the Premier League and keeps them tight at the back, and they'll nick the old win, and there you go.
I think he gets a bit of unfair criticism, Tony Pulis, personally. I think he's... If you got him in... He's a bit like Allardyce in a way, isn't he? If you got him in charge, you're pretty much guaranteed next year in the... I mean, I know some of the West Brom fans deride his style of play. They want it to be more entertaining. But as far as the directors and owners of that club... He's going nowhere, is he?
I think, you know, style of play staying in the Premier League are two different things, and I think you've got to get the Premier League football to keep the fans really happy. Style of play will come second to results, John.
Yeah, no, I think so. I just think he gets... I think everywhere he's been, Stoke, Palace, West Brom, he's done a good job. And then the last one, again, poor old Nick won't be happy. He'll be crying into his cornflakes, but Brighton Hove Albion 0, Man City 2. Strong start from Man City.
Yeah, well, tough start for Brighton in the, you know, the first game in the Premier League. City have spent an absolute fortune this year, and you know, they've laced with quality all over the pitch, and you know, 2-0, fairly steady start for City. I think they'll clearly go far this season. Whether they've quite got enough to win the league, we'll see. Whether these new players can adjust and adapt to the Premier League when they're playing against some tougher opposition,
I was going to ask you that, Phil. What are your predictions for top four?
Well, I think we'll go and win it this year, John. I'm going to put my stall out straight away and say Man United will get the league this year, take us up to 21.
Yep. Bold words.
Well, you know, it's a Mourinho, typical Mourinho job. Yeah. He's basically signed a new spine. You know, we kept De Gea, which was a really important thing. Signed a, you know, a big strong centre half, a big strong central midfielder, and a big strong centre forward. You know, that's the typical Mourinho move to strengthen that team, make them a big physically imposing side, and they've got some class in amongst that as well.
What are your thoughts on Lukaku?
He'll score goals, John. He's a proven Premier League striker. You know, if he doesn't get 20 goals this season, I'll be amazed. And yeah, I'm sure he'll be a successful player for us.
And who do you think is going to come second?
I can't see City being too far out of that. You know, with the quality they've got, they're bound to go far. But Spurs, you know, whilst they've not signed anyone this close season, you know, it's another year of experience for a good young side, mainly English, which is great to see. They play some cracking football.
Yeah.
I mean, Dele Alli and Harry Kane, you've got two of the best players in the Premier League playing for them now.
I agree. I think in the last 3 or 4 years, I think Tottenham have not put a foot wrong, really. I think things have changed, though. I think they're going to play at Wembley home games this year while White Hart Lane's getting rebuilt. And the other thing that I think is going to affect them is that they've got this, they won't pay over £100,000 a week. While that is admirable, you're going to miss out on the top players, aren't you?
Well, that's true, John, yeah. And I think the Wembley thing is a significant thing. Teams going there will be effectively playing like it's their cup final. You know, if they've not played at Wembley before, you're going to be playing there against Spurs. So it's going to be tough for them to maintain that, the home form that they saw at White Hart Lane at Wembley.
Yeah, no, I think so. I think they're going to... me, personally, this is I think United are a season away from winning the league. I think next season's your season. I think it'll be City. I think possibly United or Chelsea second and third, and then I think Tottenham fourth. I think poor old Arsenal. I can't see Arsenal being top four this year. I can't see Liverpool, especially after last night's result.
Well, you know, there's still a bit of time to go before the transfer window shuts. There'll be more movement yet, that's for sure, and we'll. See how things settle down into September, and it's a marathon, not a sprint, John.
Love it. Now, just going back onto Man United, they're your first love, they're your first soccer love. When remember your first game you went to?
I do remember it, actually, yeah. I'd kind of fallen in love with them during the 85 season, which culminated in the cup final against Everton, when Whiteside bent one past Neville Southall to win 1-0.
Yep.
And I went to my first game that following season, first league game at Old Trafford. It was Southampton at home. We won 5-1 and fell in love with it from there on. I think amongst the scorers that day was Jesper Olsen, who's actually a Melbournean resident these days.
Is he really?
He is, yeah.
I didn't know that. Yeah. And sort of over the course of time, and you allow more than one, but favourite players that you've seen at United?
Back in those days, you know, we were pretty success starved, you know, in those kind of late, well, certainly Atkinson years, early Ferguson years. Players that stood out to me, Mark Hughes was my hero. Sparky scored some great goals for Man U in both spells. Brian Robson was a terrific footballer as well, but Mark Hughes was my hero back in the day. Moving it forward to more modern era, well, there's been some fantastic players, of course. Yeah, we've seen Cantona down there. We've seen Schmeichel in goal. He was probably the best goalkeeper we've ever had. We've seen Ronaldo play at his pomp. But the man for me, above all of those, Paul Scholes.
Yeah, I'd probably have to agree with you there. I think for United players, I think Paul Scholes was... he was special, wasn't he? He was a special player. And Schmeichel, yeah, I mean... there's obviously different debate on the best ever Premier League goalkeeper of all time, 25th year of the Premier League, of course. There's no debate, and he's been the best keeper,
no.
Is there?
No debate. It's all in my mind.
I mean, who would come close? David Seaman,
no.
Maybe what's his name at Arsenal? Petr
Cech. Petr Cech's been a good goalkeeper, solid. But you know, Schmeichel did everything. You know, he had such a unique style back in the day. We're not seeing anything like him.
And he
saving with his feet, saving with every part of his body, terrifying strikers with his, you know, his movement.
And obviously, with Salford being so close to Manchester, Salford would be a hotbed of United support, would it? Man United.
Oh,
support?
Massively so. Yeah, definitely, John. Yeah. When my family moved from Prestwich to Worsley in Salford, I changed schools, and that was a Man United school, and I was, you know, from that age onward, I was always going to be a Man United fan, despite my dad buying me a City shirt once for Christmas. I think my uncle got a grip of me and decided that wasn't going to happen for too much longer. So yeah, became a Man United fan from there on. Salford's a very big, you know, you've got City fans there. You've also got a smattering of Bolton fans and a few of the other sort of, you know, lower teams,
smaller clubs. Yeah. Good stuff. And Ferguson, I mean, you always got the feeling when Ferguson retired, you're going to have a couple of years of transition. I always thought, this is just my opinion, but I always thought, I could see what he was doing with David Moyes, almost trying to build that sort of continuity. But what I think he should have done was had David Moyes underneath him for a couple of years. So I remember watching a documentary on Man United, and they were saying that when Moyes took over, he sort of changed the times of training and different things, and the players would still come in and say, well, the boss always got us to start at 9 o'clock, at 9:30, the boss obviously being Alec Ferguson. So it was a huge ask, really, in fairness to him.
Yeah, it was the impossible job, wasn't it, after that much success for that length of time. I don't think really anyone could have, you know, joined the club at that point, managed the club and maintained success that Ferguson had obviously delivered.
Yeah,
they had to take a few years just to, you know, re-establish themselves, work out who's the right person for this job. And Mourinho was under consideration back at that time as well. You know, we courted him, he courted Man United.
He did, didn't he? He always fancied it. And do you think that Mourinho's a typical United manager?
He's not. He's not the typical Man United. He's not the classiest bloke at times. He can come across as very, very arrogant and does his own thing, but I guess you could see similarities in Ferguson from that point of view. But yeah, you know, I think he's arrived at the right time. Success last year in his first season, two trophies, you can't argue with that. You know, a European trophy and the League Cup, that's not a bad, you know, springboard for this season at all.
Well, it's when I was growing up, my father always said to me that, he said there were always four, and this is going back to sort of 50s and 60s and onwards, there were four best footballing teams. He always used to say Celtic were a good footballing team, he always used to say Spurs were a good footballing team, and he used to say West Ham were a good footballing team, and Man United, they were the four supposedly, you know, traditionally played good football. So when you had Louis van Gaal in charge, yes, you won the FA Cup, but all the Man United fans that I knew were, you know, they just hated the football, didn't they?
It was dire, John, underneath Van Gaal. It was poor football. Results weren't great, and the style of football, you know, wasn't there either. So, you know, the double whammy of that just meant that he had really no chance.
Great stuff, Phil. So I just wanted to just do the results for the Championship as well. So we saw Hull City 4, Burton Albion 1. Hull obviously relegated from the Premier League last season, good result for them. Barnsley 1, Ipswich 2, that's 2 on the bounce for Ipswich's Mick McCarthy. Brentford 3, Nottingham Forest 4, see Mark Warburton going back to one of his old clubs there. Cardiff City 3, Aston Villa 0. How do you reckon your old mate Bruce is going to do at Villa this year?
Well, that's a poor result, isn't it, really?
Terrible.
Yeah, for a big club that have dropped down.
Yeah, he's got John Terry there, obviously. He's got quite a bit more rebuilding to be done before.
He's going to need more than John Terry by the looks of things.
We've got Derby County 0, Wolves 2. Wolves started well.
Yeah, good to see them back. You know, another big club, big Midlands club.
Yeah. Birmingham City 2, Bristol City 1. Battle of the BCFCs there. Leeds 0, Preston 0, Millwall 1, Bolton 1. Reading 1, Fulham 1, Sheffield Wednesday 1, QPR 1, and Middlesbrough 1, Sheffield United 0. So Middlesbrough, obviously with Gary Monk and all the players they brought in, probably favourites for that division this year, would you say?
I don't know. You know, Sunderland and Middlesbrough dropped down, didn't they? Newcastle went up in return.
Yep.
You know, Borough, they were caught in relegation for a few years in the Premier League. Whether they're ready to bounce back up or not, it's a very difficult league to get out of, John. Very difficult league.
They got Gary Monk in from Leeds, didn't they? And he's in fact, they bought two players from us. They bought our keeper and Ashley Fletcher, one of our strikers. But all right, well, we'll move on to League One now. So Northampton 0, Fleetwood 1, Wimbledon 0, Shrewsbury 1, Blackpool 1, MK Dons 0, Bristol Rovers 1, Peterborough 4. Terrible start for Daryl Clark at Bristol Rovers. That's lost both games. That's a pretty big loss there. Gillingham 0, Bradford 1. Bradford, I reckon, got into the playoffs last year. One of the hot favourites, I think, for that division. Blackburn 1, Doncaster 3. I mean, they're really dropping, aren't they? What are your thoughts on Blackburn?
Well, you know, they were the first winners of the Premier League, weren't they? Seems a long time ago. Well, it was a long time ago, but you know, if they drop out of League One back into League Two, then what a fall from grace they've seen.
I know. Well, they're the first Premier League winners to be in the Tier Three. Oxford 3, Portsmouth 0. Oxford going well. Plymouth 2, Charlton 0. Good to see Plymouth winning. Rochdale 1, Scunthorpe 1, Rotherham 5. Southend 0, and lastly Walsall 2, Oldham 1. So do you follow sort of low league football? You got
I keep an eye on a few of the clubs, a few of the local northern clubs, Oldham, Wigan, Bolton, every now and again,
just to see how they're doing. So we'll just go into League 2 just to see what's been happening down there. So we've got Lincoln 1, Morecambe 1. Lincoln obviously smashed the National League last year. Barnet 1, Luton 0. Luton I think they won 8-2 last week, and I think they're odds on to one of the one of the promotion favourites. Cheltenham 1, Crawley 0, Colchester 1, Stevenage 1, Crewe 1, Newport 1, Grimsby 0, Coventry 2. So two good wins for Coventry. It'd be good to see those guys back up. Cambridge 1, Carlisle 2, Mansfield 2, Forest Green Rovers 0. Mansfield are the also with Luton favourites to go up. Notts County 2, Kevin Nolan's team, Chesterfield 0. Port Vale 2, Wickham 3, Swindon 1, Exeter 1, and finally Yeovil 3, Accrington 2. So got the big game tonight, Phil. Man United versus the Hammers. What are your predictions for that one?
I can't see past a comfortable home win, John, if I'm honest.
No.
It's an important game. We've got to get off to a good start. New signings, I think, will adapt and fit straight in. They've all got, well, with the exception of Lindelof, they've got Premier League experience.
Yeah.
Be an interesting game, though, because you've got, you know, three players in your side that are going to come to Manchester and get quite mixed receptions, I would have thought. Chicharito, for obvious reasons, is going to be get a great reception.
You
from
think
the
he'll
old,
get a good reception?
He'll get a terrific reception. Yeah, you know, he was a good player for Man. He scored a lot of good goals. Fans' favourite back in the time, and
Louis van Gaal sold him, didn't they? That was an unpopular decision when they sold him, wasn't it?
That's right. Yeah, he was a good player. He was never really a first choice starter, but it was always great to have on the bench and bring on if you needed a goal.
Was he sort of similar to sort of Solskjaer?
Very similar, yeah. Modern day Solskjaer, anyway. Yeah.
Bring on, get you a goal.
Yeah, absolutely. And then Zabaleta and Hart are returning to Manchester. They're going to get a different reception from Chicharito for obvious reasons with the City connection.
No, that's right. That's right. Well, we're unfortunately probably without our two best players. Lanzini is going to be missing the first two games of the season. My only worry about Lanzini, I'm not worried about his injury. It's really. It's if Coutinho goes to Barcelona, and we've seen Liverpool playing really hardball with Barcelona, and then again this week we've seen Coutinho, unfortunately for Liverpool, hand in a transfer request, because I think, whether you're a Liverpool fan or not, Coutinho is one of those quality players you want to see in the Premier League. But there's talk, if Coutinho does go to Barcelona, that they're going to be buying Lanzini from us. So I think West Ham are really trying to get him to sign a new contract as quick as we can. The other player we're missing is Mikel Antonio on the right, rampaging right winger for us. So whether we've got enough in there, with this talk this week that we're going to be buying Carvalho from Sporting Lisbon and Portugal, who's exactly the kind of player. Chicharito's great. Joe Hart's okay, but he just sits in there, defensive midfielder, exactly what any team needs. We definitely need someone like that. But I don't know. We don't have a bad record at Old Trafford. It just depends, you know, if either team have got a hangover and what happens. So
yeah, West Ham have been a bogey team for United for a little while now. We've had some funny results against you boys, home and away from time to time.
Yeah, well, we played you in our last game. At the bowling ground,
that's
if you
right.
remember.
Yeah, you did, yeah.
And which was, it's mixed thoughts on that, as in people sort of, we're moving to the Olympic Stadium. It's our second season in the Olympic Stadium. We're missing the first, I think, 3 or 4 weeks because they're having an athletics championships there. So we've got to play away until they try and put it back into a football stadium. But we'll see what happens with that. I just wanted to do, we'll do the Scottish Premier League as well. Don't want any of our Scottish friends thinking we're ignoring them. So we've got Hamilton 3, Dundee 0, Kilmarnock 0, Hearts 1. Good result for Hearts. Probably the biggest result of the day, Rangers 2, Hibs 3. So obviously Neil Lennon, Celtic's old manager, probably got a great response at Rangers when he arrived there. Not. but his side won 3-2. Then we saw Ross County 1, Aberdeen 2, and then finally St Johnstone 4, Motherwell 1. So St Johnstone, obviously the Perth club. Interesting facts about St Johnstone. Do you know the interesting facts about St Johnstone? They're the only team in the English League and the Scottish League to have a J in their name.
Okay?
Some of the things we get on really soccer show. If you do have any sort of requests or you want me to sort of talk about or talk about us in more sort of detail. Oh, by the way, Celtic won. They beat Partick Thistle. I think on Friday night it was the early game. So the unstoppable Celtic, really. You can't see anyone dislodging Celtic this season, can you, really?
You can't really. It's a pub league at best, John, in my opinion. Ooh. But, you know, it's a one-horse race, really, isn't it?
Those are the opinions of Phil Livesley and not the show. do you know what? I'd just be good to see someone up there challenging with them, wouldn't it? Whether Rangers or Hibs or Hearts. It just, I don't know. We've had two games and people are already saying Celtic won the league, which is just ridiculous, isn't it?
Well, I mean, the last time you had another club challenging, well, Aberdeen, but
yeah,
look who was responsible for that.
Yeah, that's right. Your old mate Sir Alex Ferguson.
Right.
So, yeah, no, I don't know. Just it's a great league, the Scottish League. It's a great league. Some great players, but it would just be nice to see two or three teams sort of challenging for it. Well, that's pretty much it today. I'm just going to wrap it up today. Thanks so much, Phil, for popping in today and enjoying everything sort of Man United from you.
Yeah, my pleasure, John. Thanks for inviting me on.
Good luck tonight. Well, I'll say good luck, but I probably won't mean it. But no, good luck tonight. I hope it's a good match. You going to be watching it?
I will be, yeah. Set the alarm for 1 o'clock in the morning.
It's not too bad. It does get worse, doesn't it, watching
the time changes.
Premier League games in Australia. But it's a lovely afternoon here. Thanks again for Marcus and everyone at Radio Carrum, and we'll speak to you next week. From everyone, thanks very much from Reedy's Soccer Show.